right. I like that music. I hope you guys do. This is a hard message this morning. We're going to have some fun. If you look, I've been challenging us because we're a church, and a church is in the forefront of society, whether we like it or not. I watched and I shared with you, I was amazed at how many of you didn't watch the Oscars. And I watched the red carpet as they interviewed the ladies and, you know, who made your dress? They're always asking those questions. Oh, that's a nice dress. They really, you know, and who made it? And well, my objective in this series is, as a church, we're on the red carpet in society. The world is watching us and they're asking us questions. And they have many opinions, and this is some of the opinions they have about the church. And so what I've been trying to share with you is how we can break down these walls. How can I, as a Christian, change the world's perception of the church? And that in order to do that, it's not going to be, the news media is not going to help us. TV and radio and movies and all that's not going to help us change the world's view of the church. Because what we're going to have to change is our neighbors, our coworkers, our brother, our sister, our mother, our father. We're going to have to change their opinion about what they think about Christians. And this morning, I want to come to this topic of the church has an aggressive political agenda. This is a question that I want to challenge myself with. Many of you know I am on the school board. I have been elected to the school board. And as a member of the school board, somebody told me the other day is I'm a politician. I don't want to be a politician. All right? That's not my desire. I don't want to be a politician. I have a passion for our children. I care about what they're doing with our children in the school system. And we have a great education system here. And so I just have a passion for it. But somebody told me, well, you're a politician. Well, I don't want to be a politician. And last week I kind of told you, we kind of started out this idea, there's two things you don't want to discuss with your neighbors, your friends. Remember, you don't want to discuss politics and what? Politics and religion. What happens when you put these two together? Yeah, what happens when you put politics and religion together? Now, what's interesting is I look at the church and I look over society. Politics has invaded the church long ago. All right, politics have been part of what a church is. We didn't call it politics in the church, we called it polity in the church. Because the church voted on everything. Some of us remember the history of the church. You would vote on everything, what kind of pencils you bought, what kind of copy machine. I remember bringing things in here, we're going to buy a copy machine. Which one do we? And we voted on everything as a church. Well, time has changed that. But the church kind of, you know, the politics kind of invaded the church. But then the church started invading politics. Now, how many of you, without raising your hands, were around in the 60s, all right? Anybody? All right, anybody around in the 60s? In the 60s, in the 1960s election, there was a big conversation out there in 1960. Can we elect John F. Kennedy as president? Anybody remember what the debate was about? John F. Kennedy was a Catholic. Can we have a Catholic as a president? Today, there is a debate with somebody running for our president. His name is Mitt Romney. And the debate is, can we elect a Mormon as president? See, we started blending these two and trying to wrestle with how do we align our beliefs and our values and religion with our politics? How do we put these two together? And it's been a debate. But what has grown out of this is a problem. What's grown out of this is something's went wrong. The church is seen as this political agenda now. We're seen as a group of voters that we vote as a block. And that, you know, and I video I showed last week talked about where if you're a Christian, you got to be Republican. And we see these images like that. And all of a sudden, we're thrown into this political realm. Like I said, I don't want to be a politician. I don't have, you know, politicians, I just kind of, I don't know about you, but I kind of look down on politicians. Can you trust them, you know? Well, can you trust preachers now? I don't know. You know, you have all this kind of stuff going on. What's went wrong? So what I want us to look at this morning, I'm going to get your outline out, and I want us to think about this for a minute. What went wrong? What happened? Why do we have this church seen as this political group and this aggressive with a political agenda? How do we see this, and where are we at with this? And so I want to begin with this. I think what has happened is, and what's went wrong is, we see this as a battle. All right, if you look at your outline, see, this has become a battle. See, it's a battle, and it's a mutual battle, all right? See, the church sees this, again, back in the, let's go back to the 60s. Back in the 60s, they told us that no longer can you have prayer in our schools. That we're going to say prayer is not part of our schools anymore, and so you can't pray at your football games anymore, and you can't pray at your graduation ceremonies anymore, and you can't pray at these events. So we're going to say prayer can't happen at schools. And then the 70s rolls around. In the early 70s, 1973, the court again comes out and says abortion is okay. That it's okay to have an abortion in the courts. And so that this battle starts challenging the values and the beliefs of Christians and of the religious people, and all of a sudden it says you're drawing a line for us and you're wanting to battle. And it's bled into this homosexuality as a lifestyle, and it has to be acceptable now. They are firing people who cannot. I was watching students writing papers at school, and they're being kicked out of school because they are not accepting of a lifestyle as homosexuality. They're not attacking homosexuality. They just don't accept it as a lifestyle. And they're getting thrown out of schools. We're trying to redefine marriage and what is marriage, and we're trying to redefine marriage. And the battle line has seemed to be drawing and getting closer and closer. We're trying to take "In God We Trust" off our money. We're trying to take our God out of our Pledge of Allegiance. And see, so as Christians, these beliefs and these values, it seems like they're attacking us. That they're attacking these things that we hold as valuable to us and traditions and things that matter to us, and we hold them dearly. But then you take the other side, those who are, I'm going to say, non-religious. They feel threatened. They feel battled that we're trying to tell them what truth is. And my definition of truth is the only truth. And so they felt challenged that we're trying to force down our beliefs and our ways and our thoughts. And they see this as an attack on their freedom. Relativism, truth, you know, what's good for me may not be good for you. And we see this attack. And so this mutual thing, we kind of see this battle. This was seen, it's real interesting. This morning I got up and punched in the news. I like reading the newspaper on the internet. New York City University is no longer going to acknowledge Christian and Jewish holidays. They're going to do school now. You're going to get Christmas off because school's out that time. But from now on, there is no shit. They were even debating about doing classes and teachers giving tests on Saturdays and Sundays. All right. There was a church in Florida. I think it's Polk County, Florida. Highway 97 runs through Polk County, Florida, if I remember correctly. And this church went out and anointed and prayed over the freeway that just opened up. Now, I don't know the context of their prayer. To me, if it was an appropriate Christian prayer, I think that's awesome. They went out and prayed and anointed the freeway. The next week, a group of atheists went out there. And they pulled a trailer out there. I was going to bring you a picture that had a tub of water on it that said unholy water. And they went out there and washed the blessing away off the freeway. And I'm watching this, and we've made this a battle. It's us against them. I think this is what's went wrong with this. That we both feel that way. But not only do we see it as a battle, I think also we have this thing called separation of church and state. We have a separation of church and state. So if you look at your outline, you can see it there. You know, we have that First Amendment. I wrote the First Amendment down just in case I couldn't quote it. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or proselytizing the free exercise thereof. All right? They can't make any laws. And but this separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. If you did any research, Thomas Jefferson wrote it in the papers, the Federalist Papers, you'll find it there. But we have this debate about what is and what's right and what can we have and what should we have. And we have this separation of church and state and who draws the line and where's the line drawn. And it's real interesting, you know, for us who are Christians and us who are believers to see this. But you need to know history. Let me tell you about a history about a man named Obadiah Holmes. Obadiah Holmes lived over along the coast in the eastern part of America when America was founded. Obadiah Holmes and two of his friends went and visited a friend who was sick in Pennsylvania. While they were visiting their sick friend in Pennsylvania, they prayed for their sick friend in Pennsylvania. After they got done praying for their sick friend in Pennsylvania, they were arrested for having an illegal worship service. This is America, okay? This is America in the 1600s. They were arrested in Pennsylvania for praying for a sick friend because they held an illegal worship service. Obadiah had two of his friends pay the fine. Obadiah refused to pay the fine and spent several days and weeks in jail before they finally let him go. Separation of church and state has been this battle and this situation in America from the foundation of our nation. Providence, Rhode Island. Anybody hear the name Providence, Rhode Island? Isn't that a place, isn't it? You know why it's called Providence, Rhode Island? Because Roger William went and bought the land and wanted freedom to choose whatever religion you wanted. This is America. Wanted the freedom to choose whatever religion you wanted. So he bought the land from the Indians and set that up as Providence, Rhode Island, because who provided it? It was provided by God for freedom of religion. That's Providence, Rhode Island. See, and so we've had this battle, this separation of church and state has been going on from the beginning. So what I want us to think about this morning, and as we look at it, they see us as this political block of voters, or we should vote this way, or you have to be a Republican. How do we deal with this? How do you deal with this when you're sharing and you're talking and you're talking about somebody and they say, well, that's just politics, and that's, how do we deal with this? And what can we do as we go across this? Because, you know, today if you talk to people, it's real interesting. You go talk to government leaders, mayors, and people like that. They don't see much value in the church to their community. The church isn't much looked on as an asset, as a value to their community anymore. And as I look at all that, something has went wrong. Something has happened. And so I wanted us to kind of think about this morning because, again, my objective as we go through this series of messages is Easter's the greatest day to share about Jesus Christ. More people will be in church on Easter than any other day. How can we share our invitation? How can we share those values and invite them to be a part of what God is doing without seeming like we're negative? Without seeming like we're hypocrites, without seeming like we're this political, aggressive group of people. Now, I want to make sure as I share this message, I believe Christians have a responsibility to vote, all right? I have never missed an election. I vote every year. My values and my beliefs impact how I vote. You need to know, I have voted for Republicans. I have voted for Democrats. I have visited presidential libraries. I've been to 4 presidential libraries. I want to go to more of them. I enjoy going to the presidential libraries. I've been to 4 of them. I've been to 2 Democrats. I've been to 2 Republicans. All right? You need to know, I vote based on my values. Sometimes it's a Republican. Sometimes it's a Democrat. Sometimes it's neither one, and I don't know what to do. Anybody in that boat with me? You know? So how do we deal with this? And the difference is made by those inside and outside the church. I wrote some notes down here because I wanted to make sure I gave you a clear picture. Here's the statement. The church has little or no value in helping people find meaning or purpose in life. 66% of the people said they would agree with that. 66% of the people in America say the church has little or no value in helping people discover the purpose in life. What's went wrong? You know, what's happened? And so what I want us to look at, what I'm going to share as we look at the message this morning is, I just kind of want to ask, what can we do to turn this around? How can we turn all this rhetoric? How can we turn this finger pointing, this yelling and screaming? How can we turn all this around? You know, How can we have some civility in how we talk and how we speak and how we share? I always find it interesting as I watch C-SPAN and watch some of these individuals. Used to be, you would watch them stand up and say, "The Honorable so-and-so, I beg to disagree with you," and begin their conversation on the floor of the Senate. You know, and then the other party or somebody else would get up, "Now, the Honorable so-and-so, I beg to disagree with you," and begin to speak. Nowadays, they have no respect for one another. And where does it put us? And we get involved in this. So here's my challenge. We're going to look at some things to change that rhetoric. Here's where I want to begin. Unchristian. Christians rely too heavily on political influence. Christian, be cautious not to place too much emphasis on politics. Let me lay the foundation here as I talk about this. We will not make this nation a Christian nation by electing Christian presidents. All right? We're not going to make this a Christian nation by having certain laws passed. It's not going to happen. That is not going to make this a Christian nation. What we're going to need to do as we think about a Christian, as we think about making our nation Christian, is it boils down to one individual at a time. And we need to kind of step back and kind of look at this. Because, see, there's two extremes that pops up as we look at this. You got those over here who don't want anything to do with politics. Nothing to do with politics. Nothing. I'm not voting. I'm not doing anything. And they're over here. Then you got some over here that are absolutely involved in politics. Now, see, I've never went door-to-door for a candidate. I've never done anything like that. I've never told anybody. Matter of fact, I got in trouble one time when I pastored my first church I ever got to pastor at, never got to preach at. It was during one of the elections, and somebody in the church, matter of fact, there was a family in the church, they left the church because I would not get up and say, "We need to elect so-and-so as president." And they got mad at me. And so somehow we need to understand, and we got to diffuse this battle of us and them. Somehow we got to kind of step back and see. And what I'm going to advocate is we need to be like Jesus. Can you believe that? I'm going to preach being like Jesus this morning. Yeah. That's what we, you know, when Jesus came, was there political problems? Was there political struggles? Yeah, you got this Roman government over here who's doing its own thing and talking about immoral lifestyle and an amoral lifestyle. And you got the Jewish synagogue over here, the religious people doing their thing. And here comes Jesus, and he's in the between both of those. But I think we need to come back to think about what Jesus did in these two extremes. Look what the scripture says. For the Son of Man, that is Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. See, we focus on, it's an election time. I don't know about you, but I'm reading the papers. I'm reading, seeing who's running, seeing their comments, watching what they're saying. But is that my focus? Is my focus getting somebody elected? Or is my focus getting somebody to know Jesus? Getting somebody to experience Jesus. See, I wonder this. I wonder if we got as active in sharing our faith, if we got as busy in telling others about Jesus, if we got as financially giving as people do to give to somebody running for a political office, could we not change our world through the message of Jesus Christ? See, I believe the challenge is we're going to change our nation one person at a time. Because when a person becomes a believer, it changes their lives. It changes their choices. It changes their values. And see, I think we need to kind of step back from this edge and kind of look at what's out there and look at some of the conversations and look at what they're doing. See, the key to me is not politics, it's lives. It's the individual lives. Now, like I say, I'm going to vote for certain people. I never vote for a particular party. I vote for whoever represents my values. That's how I make my choice. I choose the candidate who comes closest to making my values. I voted for a candidate, and I supported him until there was a problem. That's how I make my choices. And so we need to look at how we look at life and say, if I really want my nation, how many here wants this nation to be closer to God? Anybody want the nation to be closer to God? I think we do. Now, is electing a president going to get it done? Is passing certain laws going to get it done? What's going to get it done is one person at a time discovering a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's what Jesus came for. Jesus came to connect people to God. You read the scripture. Nowhere does it say Jesus. Matter of fact, it says he did not come to condemn the world. John chapter 3. He did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And we said here as Christians, condemning the world. Anybody? All the things going wrong. You know, I was telling you about all the things. We are blessed to be able to have church in a school. Do you know they just passed a law in New York that you cannot have a church in school now? I just talked to a pastor in a conference the other day when we were at the conference in Southern California. His church has just had to find another place to worship because they cannot meet in schools any longer in New York. Yeah. And we get these battlegrounds and we get all this. You know, the Supreme Court's going to have, there's a hearing coming up this week that's a really critical issue at the Supreme Court. I can't remember what it was. I was just reading the article again this morning. You know, and so we see all of this and we hear all of this. So I just want to tell us, let's get back to Jesus. Look at what Jesus said. Here's what we need to do. Look at what Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. Did Jesus say, therefore, go and make disciples of every government? Go and get all Christian laws passed. I believe if we get more Christians, we'll make better decisions and we don't need the laws passed. We never needed a law defining marriage, did we? We never needed that. But the world has become less and less believers, less and less people who believe this is the Word of God. And so now that's a question. You want to get it back over here, get them to believe this. Not elect somebody president or senator or governor or... Now, you need to know, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm voting for certain people. But you got to make those decisions on your values, on your beliefs. And so we need to think. But my challenge is, am I going to share my faith? I want to ask you this. Here's my challenge to you. Every time you think of somebody asks you about who you're going to vote for president, can you tell them who you like and how you like Jesus? Think about it. The greater impact we're going to have is with Jesus, not whether, I don't know who's going to be, Obama, Mitt Romney, I don't know who. I don't know who's going to get in. But I know one thing. If Jesus rules, this world will be a much better place. And it's one heart, one life at a time. See, don't put all our emphasis in these politics. I really believe, and this is something, I really believe politicians are taking advantage of the church. I believe politicians are taking advantage of Christians. They're going to vote this issue. They're going to vote this issue. They're going to do this. And they just trying to group us all together. And I want to challenge us. Let's stand with Jesus. Let's stand with Jesus. And let's not get involved in this battle. Let's not make it a battle. Because that's kind of where my next point goes. And this is what I want us to look at. Look at the next one. Look at what it says here. Christians do not respect leaders whose political viewpoint is different than their own. Be aware of our capacity for myopia. I got a big word there. I'm going to talk about it. Don't worry. That's not a word you hear too much, but I like the word, so I used it. Christians do not respect leaders with political viewpoints different than their own. I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, okay? Now, just prepare yourself. This is hard for you to believe, but you know what? I make mistakes. You know, I'm sorry. I do. You know, sometimes I misunderstand. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I just don't think. Yeah. What I'm saying is this. We need to understand in the midst of this, I don't have all the answers. You know, we as Christians don't have all the answers. I want to tell you, just from my perspective and being involved on the school board and all these other things, it's not as simple as we think it is. It's a little more complex out there. The thing I look at, and just so you get my perspective, especially right now with our schools and the financial system and all the stuff going on, and you know, I'm down here making decisions, and I'm getting yelled at by people in the community because I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and it's kind of like I'm in a little bitty box here, and there's one pie here, and I can only slice it in so many ways, and I can only do that. But they don't know everything. You know, they don't know there's contracts, and there's legal terms, and there's court systems, and they're passing new laws, and I mean, it's a mess. But then I look up there at them and I start yelling at them in Sacramento, but really, you know what? I don't know all the stuff going on up there either. Politics and life is complex, and I think we need to kind of step back and just be aware. And that word myopia, let me give you a definition. The lack of foresight, discernment, narrow-mindedness, intolerance. You know, I can be intolerant. You need to know that. I can be short-sighted. Sometimes I don't think things through. Anybody else do that, or you guys never do that? So we need to kind of step back from this rhetoric. We need to kind of step back. Because we made it this us and them. It's me against them. It's me against them. And it's this antagonistic relationship. I mean, the whole system is designed that way. We have two political parties, and what are you supposed to do? Choose one, choose your team, and let's fight. But sometimes we make mistakes. I never forgot. I just got elected to the school board. It hadn't been on very long, and there was a desire I had for something to happen, and there was another need, but I said, we need to solve this one first, and then we can move to this one. One of the other board members who had many more years' experience than I did took me aside. We spent an afternoon together. We had some conversations. In the midst of those conversations, I realized, you know what? He's right. You know, I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I knew what was best. But after I had a conversation with someone, all of a sudden I realized, well, you know what? I can't really pass this up. Yeah, in the long run, it's going to benefit us. Short term might not be the best, but in the long run. See, I think we need to come back and understand that there's things that we need to rise above, to get above it, and that it's complex and that it's not always that easy. I want you to look at a story because Jesus was confronted with this, okay? Look at this passage of Scripture. This happened in Jesus' life. Look what Jesus said here. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, okay, just to kind of set it in text, some guys were trying to trick Jesus, all right? They were trying to trap him. So they come with a political religious question. They're trying to trap him. And they come with this political religious question. He's going to get mad at Rome, or he's going to get the Jewish people mad. He's going to upset somebody. Let's trick him. You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin. See, who should get our taxes? Should we pay taxes or not? April 15th is rolling around. Should we pay our taxes or not? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked him, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. See, he's in this box. They tried to put him in a box, this political box. You know, Rome is sitting there saying, you got to pay your taxes, you got to da-da-da-da-da, and you got to live this way. The synagogue over here, they don't want to pay their taxes. Caesar's trying to be God. They didn't think Caesar was God. They had a better use for their money than that. They didn't like the Romans telling them what to do. And so he's sitting here in the middle and he says, listen, give to God what is God, and give to Caesar what is Caesar. See, as we look at the political realm as Christians, we need to understand there's things that are political and there's things that are spiritual. And we need to balance these two. We need to walk down the middle with these two. We got to walk above the problems and the complexities of all these issues. It's not always that simple. But we try to create this antagonistic relationship. Let me give you, I went up to see my parents one time, and my uncle's there. What made it so hard is this is the uncle who got me involved in church. This is the uncle that was bringing me to church. He was leading me into church, and my cousin and all of them were the ones that got me involved in church. And we're talking with him, and he's not in church right now. And he's kind of wandered away. He's not living a bad lifestyle. He's just not following God right now. And so I'm walking in, and so we're visiting, and we're talking. And he tried to bait me into a conversation, an argument on homosexuality. He wanted to have an argument. He says, "Oh, you're that Bible thumper kind of," but throws out homosexuality. And I wouldn't bite. I didn't get in an argument. I wasn't gonna deal with him. I wasn't gonna cross that bridge. I wasn't gonna go there. And he wanted to have this argument, and I refused to get in an argument with my uncle on homosexuality. Why do I need to debate that with him? Why do I need to have the conversation with him? And so I had to deal with that. What I'm saying is sometimes we need to take the higher ground. Sometimes we need to rise above all the political rhetoric, all the pointing fingers and the yelling and the screaming. We don't need to live in that. We can be the different ones. Jesus said, listen, make your choices. Some of it goes to Caesar, some of it goes to God. Make your choices. But here's what I want us to come back to. We got to come back to this. It's not about what political party you belong to. It's not about what presidential candidate you vote for. It's not about what senator or who you follow or who you're supporting. It's not about any of that. It's about one life at a time. It's about one person at a time. It's about sharing Jesus Christ at a time. See, and that's the challenge. Look again what the scripture says. Look again. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will you do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for the one that he lost? The same way, is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish? Not one of these little ones should perish? See, we look at people out there and we don't want anything to do with them. That person, that individual. And we avoid them. And Jesus is saying what? God wants everyone. If there's one. If there's one. I shared about my uncle, my challenge now. I'm kind of worried he might turn on my podcast one day and listen to what I say, which wouldn't bother me a bit because I want to talk to him. I want to find out what drove him away because he hasn't been in church in years. And I want to find out what happened and just minister to him because he ministered to me. He made an impact in my life. And I want to minister. That's not arguing or debating these issues. It's about serving and ministering. Can we respect those who politically disagree with us, who are on the opposite poles as us, who's made those decisions? Can we respect them? Here's the last one I wanted us to look at as I think about the church. Here's what else they say. Christians drown out and demonize the voices of others. He's the devil. I already told you, just in case you didn't know this, Ronald Reagan was the beast, okay? If you didn't know that, anybody remember the number of the beast is what? Anybody, what's the number of the beast? 666. Ronald is six letters. His middle name is Wilson, which is six letters. And his last name is Reagan, which is six letters. So Ronald Reagan was the beast. Didn't you guys know that? I'm joking, all right? I'm being sarcastic. I shouldn't say I'm being sarcastic. But that's what people do. We demonize people, you know? Now Obama is the evil one. Obama is the beast. He's Nikolai in the books of Left Behind. And we demonize. Do you hear that from Christians? Come on now. Am I the only one that hears stuff like that? Does that really do us any good? Do we respect and pray for others? Do we, when they disagree with us, when they have different agendas, different values, different political beliefs, For me, as I looked at those guys who were washing off Highway 97 with unholy water after they anointed the freeway, as a Christian, I wish somebody would have come to me if I had been the one anointing that street. I'm going, well, I'm glad God protected them while they were out there doing that, because that's what I prayed for. I would be praying for them. I'd be ministering to them. I wouldn't, whoa, what do they think they're doing? I'm just glad God protected them while they were out there washing up, didn't get hit by a car, because that's what I prayed for, that whoever goes down that highway will be safe in my town, that there'll be no accidents, and there'll be safety for the families and the children and the people who travel that highway. I mean, that would be my prayer. They're out there washing it off. Well, I'm going to tell you, can you wash away God's blessing? I would have laughed. Yeah. See, why do we get antagonistic? You know, I'm sitting here and they're putting these signs on buses now in certain cities about atheism. Whoopee. Yeah. How many people really care what that sign says? How many of you read what's on a bus very often? Come on. Oh, I like what that bus says. I'm going to ride that one. We fight over the silliest, and we argue over the silliest things in our lives, and I just see so many things like that. We need to listen. We need to be patient. We need to show respect. You need to know I write my senator, my governor. I do that stuff. I pick up the phone and I call. I've called our senator's offices. I've wrote letters. I've sent emails. You know, if you write a letter, you know how you start that letter? I don't care who it is. The Honorable so-and-so. Some of them I don't think are too honorable, but that's my opinion. The Honorable so-and-so. That's how you write your senator. The governor, the Honorable. That's who you call them. It's a matter of respect. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what they said. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This bothers me. Because I battle those kind of things. You know, it's not that I don't respect them. It's just I don't want anything to do with them. When you say one thing and yet it's hard. It's hard to accept someone who you think it's just not thinking. Where's their head? What are they doing? And it's hard to wrestle with those kind of questions and those kind of things. But you know, they say Christians are ugly and Christians are rude. And we need to kind of back up. I was watching a conversation. Santorum, is that his name? Santorum, is that his name? Somebody at a college wanted to have a conversation and was asking him about homosexuality. And it was great. Here's a college campus, which is supposed to be an open conversation. And he wanted to stand up there and go, okay, let's have a conversation. And he begins to have a conversation, and they shouted him down. And I'm sitting here going, you ask him a question, he's trying to have a logical conversation, and you're not going to give him a chance because you already had your mind made up. Do Christians do that too? We need to kind of back up and think about this. Look again what it says in the scriptures. I just gave the scripture again. Caesar, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. People that are elected to office deserve our honor and our respect. Period. Doesn't matter what they did. Doesn't matter what they said. They deserve our honor and respect. All right. Now I'm going to be honest. That's hard for me. All right. But they deserve it because of their office. That's what the scripture says. And I battle that one. But this next one, I guarantee you, I do. Look at this next scripture. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I pray for every political person that I have influence or that has influences in my life. Doesn't matter what political party. Doesn't matter about their decisions. Doesn't matter what goes on. Sometimes I feel like they never listen to me. Anybody feel like that? They don't care. And we wrestle with all of this. But I guarantee you what? I pray for our president. I do. I pray for President Obama. I pray for Governor Brown. I pray for hard, Barbara Boxer. I'm honest. You know, Dianne Feinstein. I find those, you know, I wrestle with, but I pray for them. I pray that God gives them wisdom. I pray that God guides them. I pray that God protects them. I pray those things over these people. Local. Talked to our board of supervisors, gentlemen, yesterday. I pray for the guy in our board of supervisors right here in our Stanislaus County. I think ours is the third district in Stanislaus County, and I pray for him. I want to challenge you, pray for him. Even if you don't like him. I use the word enemy lightly because I don't want to call him an enemy because that makes it a battle. I want to rise above the battle. I want to rise above all of this. I don't want to be down on that. See, we're quick to judge. We're quick to be self-righteous. We're quick to set out these beliefs and say, this is what it is. And we're quick to throw all this out there. And I think we need to kind of back up a little bit and listen and see what's going on and that perception of holiness that we have and what they think. Because it's going to boil down to this. It's going to be one heart at a time. It's going to be one life at a time. And I want to challenge us that if we got as active telling others about Jesus as we are about telling our political views, we could change our world. We could make a difference. Look at what God's Word says again. Go figure what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. What does that mean? I'm here to invite outsiders, not cuddle the insiders. This is Jesus again. Figure out what it means. God's not after religious practices. He's after changed lives. He's after transformation in people's hearts. That should be our goal. That should be our agenda. That should be our purpose. You know, as pastor, like I said, I've gotten in trouble for not years and years ago, not saying you got to vote for this candidate. You'll never hear me. I've never said who to vote for from this pulpit in front of this church. Never. 28 years. Never. And I'm never going to do it. I know who I'm going to vote for right now. I don't know who I'm going to vote for, honestly. I don't know where I'm at on this yet. But I'm going to vote. I want you to vote. I want you to elect. I want you to pay attention. I want your values and your beliefs to impact your vote. But I want us to always have respect. I want us to always rise above the battle. I want us always to show honor. I want us always to pray. I want us always to realize that we're not perfect either. That we need to understand this is a complex situation. It's not all that simple. That there's this battle and these things going on. But the thing to remember is this, it's going to be one life at a time. So here's what I put, if you look at your paper, promote Jesus, not politics. Promote Jesus, not politics. Listen to what it says. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone. Just in case you don't get everyone, for kings and all those in authority. Just in case you don't get it, he says, I love this. Pray for everyone. Well, make sure you pray for your government leaders. I think they had the same problem we have. That we may live peacefully, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for everyone. Pray for everyone. Yes, we need to look at politics. And yes, we need to get to Caesar what are Caesar's. But our goal is what it is at the bottom. He wants all men to be saved. That should be our goal. Not getting somebody elected, not having a certain politician in control, not having a certain party control Congress. Our heart and our life should beat for every person who does not know Jesus Christ. We should worry about those who are far from God more than we worry about who gets elected as president. Now, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to vote. Guaranteed. My values, my beliefs are going to dictate my vote. I don't know right now. I haven't picked somebody yet. I guess our primary doesn't happen until June, right? Is our primary in June? We get to pick whatever. You know, there's another primary in June. And I don't know. But you need to think about, am I reaching as much with Jesus as I talk about politics? as I fight for a certain political party, as I argue for a certain agenda, as I argue for certain laws, am I talking about Jesus? Because that's what I want. Our focus should be that others may know Jesus. Jesus came to connect people to God. Jesus came to bring forgiveness in this world. Jesus came so that people could have a relationship with God through the mercy and grace of God and live with Him for all eternity. That is His goal. What is ours in America today? I want to challenge us. You know, our world is in trouble. I put a list of stuff here that I think the world's in trouble with. Pornography, injustice, the plight of the poor, educational policies, the immoral media that we see today, the environment, adoption and foster care, sex trafficking. I hadn't even talked about abortion or homosexuality, those two that always percolate to the top. There are a lot of trouble in our country. It's a complex situation. It's not easy. But we need to think about how we're going to minister and to serve. How we're going to live. Look at that question, that box again. I'll come back to this because this is what I want. If you look at that box, leaving the people that I've met with a better understanding of God than they would have had they never met me. Is that my goal? Or is it to convince them to vote for a certain party? Is it to help somebody say, I got to pass this law? Not saying they don't need to do that, but is this my goal? See, I love this definition of evangelism. Just getting somebody to take one more step. Just get a little closer to God after I talked with them. See, I want to challenge us. And so what I've done is at the end of every message, I've kind of given you some tools. You know, if somebody tells you, well, you know, I'm not into this religion thing. You can say, that's great, I'm not either. Because, you know, Christianity is not a religion. Remember we talked about that. It's about done and do. See, if it's about a religion, it's about what you do. And how much can you do? And how do you know you've done enough? You've done enough. You do enough. But it's about Jesus, what Jesus done. He paid the price for you. And I've shared that with you. Got some cards up here that you can take home with a little outline, how you can share that with somebody else. Somebody said about religion. Last week I showed you how to make a bridge. Remember that? We had some napkins. I still got some napkins and some papers that tell you how to do the bridge diagram. This morning, how about it? Anybody ever tell you, well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm a good person. Anybody ever tell you that? Let me give you a little tool, and it's a really good tool for right now. When somebody says, you know, I'm a good person. I'm doing the best I can. God's going to accept because I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to be good. So we're going to start, and I'm going to start a all-universe Hall of Fame for baseball. I mean, you know, we got the whole universe, all right? The all-universe Hall of Fame for baseball. Only three criteria to get in. If you want to get in the baseball all-universe, here's your three criteria. You have to have played at least 5 years. You had to play error-free ball all 5 years, not one error in 5 years, and you need to bat 1,000, okay? If you can do those three things, you can be in my all-universe Hall of Fame. Now, baseball has been going on for over 100 years. Would there be anybody in that Hall of Fame? Nobody would make that Hall of Fame, all right? Well, let me tell you, if you think you're good enough to get into heaven, can you be 100% perfect? Look what it says. I put a scripture here. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. One. The reality is, I'm a sinner. If I say I have not sinned, I deceive myself and I call God a liar. I make mistakes. Well, if heaven's only for perfect people and I'm a sinner, I can't get there. I can't get the all universe. But because of Jesus Christ who paid the price with his life, by the grace and mercy of God, I can get to heaven. So some of you have friends that say, well, hey, I'm good. Well, here, take a baseball diamond and tell them they're not. The cards are up here, just like last week. I've been giving you guys things. Take this with you and say, hey, yeah, man, you know, can you be this good? Because, see, we can't be good enough. What's so marvelous, what's so wonderful, is that Jesus Christ paid the price for me and for you. And for that friend, that neighbor, that coworker, that brother, that sister, that aunt, that uncle, that mother, that father, he paid the price. You can't pay it, and Jesus could, and he did. He lived that perfect life, died on that cross, rose from the grave. He lives today, and he paid the price. And by God's grace and mercy, all I got to do is accept it. All I got to do is receive it. So if you think you're good enough, I got news for you. If you can't bat a thousand, play air-free ball, and played for 5 years, you ain't going to make it. But if you want Jesus Christ, you got it made. See, I want to challenge you. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's not talk about politics. Let's not debate who's going to be who and who we're going to elect and who's going to get involved. And I will. And I have people call me and say, who are you going to vote for? And school board elections and this election and that election. And, you know, I say, well, here's what I've done and here's what I've looked at. Now you got to make your own decisions. You know? What bothered me the most? I worked the polls. You know what bothered me the most? Somebody would walk in with a clipping out of a newspaper or a piece of cardboard they got in the mail. Anybody work the polls? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They get a cardboard they got in the newspaper from a certain political individual or certain, and they'd come in and just set that there and go, toink, 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 toink. And just vote whatever that card said, whatever the newspaper said. That always aggravated me. Because I'm always all over the board. Like I said, I voted Republican, I voted Democrat. I vote for whoever has my values. Because I think I'm right. Most of the time. Some of the time. But I think this book is right all the time. So I'm going to go with God. What is Caesar's, what's God's, God's. I'm going to walk down the middle with Jesus and just tell people about Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to vote, I'm going to do that, but my political persuasion is Jesus. I want to challenge you. Do you see a hurting world out there that needs him? Or do you see a hurting world that needs your vote? I want to challenge you to look at a world that needs Jesus Christ. That needs to hear the message of God's love. And that it's just a matter of accepting him. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to get it. There's a sin in the way and all you got to do is accept it. You make that your priority so the world doesn't see the church as this political agenda. That we're a people for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you love us and you care for us. That Jesus died for us. Lord, that we live in America, a wonderful, beautiful nation. I thank you for the privilege of living in America. But yet, even as a wonderful nation it is, Lord, it is full of complex problems and issues. Lord, there's battles here and there with all sorts of questions. Redefining marriage and lifestyles and life itself. And Lord, there's all these battles. Lord, we want to rise above those battles. We want to rise and stand with you, Lord, that we can share the name of Jesus Christ. That we can tell the world, no matter who they are, no matter where they're at, no matter what they've done, that you love them, that you cared for them, that Jesus Christ died for them, that you want them to be part of your life. So, Lord, just guide and direct us. Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge that we may say the right things, be the right people, that we won't be those rude and ugly people that so many think we are, that we won't be those unholy, self-righteous people, that we'll be a people of God with the message of Jesus to a hurting and dying world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.